you so much. Can you guys hear me in the back? Someone told me earlier that they couldn't hear me in the back, so I just want to make sure I talk. Did you hear Sharon better with the lapel on? Should I wear the lapel? So wear the lapel.
Okay.
I'm going to get situated here really quick. I can talk loud. Okay. All right. If you'll open your Bible to Acts 14:22, I'm going to start there. My husband used this verse while he was preaching a few weeks ago, and I knew as soon as I read this verse that this is what the Lord wanted me to speak about. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Our ministry, my husband and I's ministry, Treasure Trials, is all about helping people whose lives have been shattered through trials and tribulations. And trials are hard. They're very, very hard. So I'm not going to speak to you necessarily about trials, but how to continue when times are hard. Because I see so many people every single week. We go back to a church that we were maybe at a year before, and we'll say, "Where's so-and-so?" Well, they're not coming to church anymore. Or we'll say, "Well, where's so-and-so?" Well, you know, they went to one of the charismatic, what do you call those churches? The liberal contemporary, that's the word I was looking for, the contemporary. You know, they want a church where, you know, they're not going to hear about sin, and they're not going to hear about, they don't want to be convicted. And that breaks my heart, because honestly, I love conviction, because that makes me know that the Lord is working in my heart, and I need to change something. So that's okay, because if in order for me to be right with the Lord, I need to change, and that's a good thing. So the Lord spoke to my heart when my husband preached, and he preached about something completely different, but he read this verse, and I thought, okay, that's what I want to do. I want to exhort you to continue, because life is going to get hard. And our trials are not over. We have had many trials, just like I'm sure. Actually, several of you have come up to me today and told me about some of your trials and your tribulations and asked me to pray for this or that. And I am more than happy to do that, because I want to give back. Because I can't tell you the people that I don't even know that have said, "I'm praying for you and your husband." That is huge to me. So you know what? I want to give back for somebody else that's hurting and needs my prayers, because God has been so good to me to allow people to pray for us. So we all have problems. You have problems. We have problems. But again, I want to encourage you to continue in the faith, because it's important. Life is tough, and we need to continue to go forward. We need to continue. I cannot say that enough. All we have to do is look around at our country, and it's a mess. People, I can't even fathom what is even going on in that mind of yours. I just don't even understand. How can you do that? You know, Mrs. Raven's daughter-in-law, her brother was killed a few weeks ago. I can't even fathom what was going on in that man's mind that shoot him. He didn't do anything wrong, that he shot him. And I don't understand that. What is going on in people's minds today? All we have to do is look around and see that a lot of people are going through a lot of troubles and tribulations, and things are really, really hard. And I, you know, some of the trials that people tell me, you know, I can say, you know, they ask me about things, and I say, you know, I really haven't faced that. I know what I have faced, and, you know, I'm not even going to tell you I understand some of the problems that you go through. Yeah, I've had a lot of problems and a lot of tribulations, but just because I do doesn't mean that I'm going through the same thing as you, and I don't understand everything, but I can pray. The people that I talk to, that I bear my heart to, are people that have gone through hard trials, because they can understand me. And I had to quit telling my mom and dad things, because they, my dad actually hung up the phone one time. He wasn't hanging up on me, but I was talking to my mom and dad, and I heard a click, and I said, "Where'd Dad go?" And she said, "I don't know." Well, Mom called me back the next day, and she said, "Dad can't take anymore." She said, "You guys have been through so much." And just like what you said, it just, sometimes I feel like, you know, it's just more and more and more trials are laid upon us. But, you know, that's okay. God said he won't give me any more than I can handle. But my mom said, "Kelly, it's like you guys have this great big huge cloud over our heads." And it's like, yeah, I kind of feel like that sometimes. But you know what? It's okay. It's really okay. And I have to truly, truly work on not being afraid of what's next. That's my biggest besetting sin, is not worrying about what else is next, because I don't know what our future is. I have no idea, and none of us do. But you know what? God's always with me, and he'll never leave me, and he'll never forsake me. I'm not going to be telling you anything new today. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, but I just want to encourage you to continue in the faith and do the things that we know are true. So the first thing that I want to talk about is just this, continuing in the faith. The Bible says in Colossians 1:23, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." With all of my heart, I want to be grounded and settled. I want to be rooted, and I want my heart to be fixed. Because like I said just a second ago, I do not know what else is next. And I don't want to do it in fear. I want to do it in complete trust, whatever it is the Lord asks me to do. But I do know what I believe and why I believe it. I don't have a question of, okay, is salvation really salvation? I don't question that. Why do I live the way I do? I know why I live the way I do. There are so many people out there that are preaching heresy, and it breaks my heart. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. We need to continue in the faith. And every day, if I choose to, I can turn on the channel or the TV or the radio or whatever, and I can listen to heresy. There is, I'm not going to mention names because I don't know if I would personally do it, but I don't know if your pastor, Pastor Light, so I'll be careful. I'll be good. But we call him Mr. Smiley. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about or not. But, you know, I heard him say, "I will not preach doctrine." Hello, that's what this is. This is doctrine. If we don't preach doctrine, what are we preaching? It's sad. It's what God says. And if we're not telling what God says, then we're not, it's all fluff. It breaks my heart. If you're not preaching doctrine, then you're nothing more than a motivational speaker. Then I heard another person with my own ears. I'm not telling you anything that I didn't hear with my own ears. It's not hearsay. This female preacher that I won't mention names, she said with her own mouth, I quote, "You do not receive until you receipt." So what she meant by that is, you give to my ministry, then God will give you whatever it is you're praying for. As she has $14 million in assets, she has a $10 million plane, millions of dollars in houses, millions of dollars worth of houses, boats, cars, Mercedes. I looked it up just so I could tell this. You know, to me, that is not a faith to follow. To me, that's corruption. There is no reason. I can tell you, I can promise you, my husband and I don't have 14 million. We don't have 14,000. I guarantee you, we don't even have 1,400. the watch I wear was given to me. The purse that I carry was given to me. I think everything else is me, but we'll just leave it at that. But you know, we don't have a lot, and I want God to meet my needs. I can tell you that. And you know what? And I'll go so far as to say, you know, I would like God to meet some of my wants too, but I have everything I need. God always allows us to have groceries on the table. We have a car that God gave us. We have a house that God gave us. We still make payments. But you know what? I don't need a $2 million, $4 million, $5 million home. That to me is waste. And I could be going to India or Africa and even in the United States and spend that money on reaching people for the gospel. To me, it's heresy. It's corruption. And then I didn't even try to find this one. It just came up in my Facebook feed. the pastor resigns. And I thought, oh, that's sad. Why did the pastor resign? And I'm not kidding. This was a huge mega church in Georgia. And I can't even remember the pastor's name. But I want you guys to think back with me before I tell this story. Has it ever been right in the church to social drink, to drink, period, ever? Never. As long, I wasn't even raised in a Christian home, but I knew it was not right to drink. I didn't get saved until I was 18. And I knew in my heart it wasn't right to drink. But that's the big thing now. Churches are teaching it's okay to social drink as long as you don't get drunk. Hello? Where did that come from? It's heresy. But this pastor, he had been preaching that it's okay to social drink. He proved it in the Bible. And they twist the scripture. Why do they do that? It's because they want to drink. Well, this pastor had to resign because he ended up being a drunk. So you can't twist scripture and make it okay because you want to do it and end well. You cannot do it. This man was getting ready to lose his family. So anyway, we have to continue in the faith. We have to know what the Bible says, and we have to believe it. We need to know what we believe. It's very, very important. The next thing we need to continue in is the grace of God. In Acts 13:43 says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." So I want to exhort you and persuade you to continue in the grace of God, because we need God's grace. Grace is undeserved. It's unmerited favor. It's God giving us what we do not deserve. I do not deserve God to love me because I am a sinner. I'm chief of sinners. And by the time I get done, you guys will know that I'm a really big sinner because I need his mercy. I need his grace. And I am so grateful for God's grace. Grace is help from God when we need it the most. Grace is the ability and desire to do God's will. Again, I'm very undeserving of God's grace. We all are. But oh, how much I want it, and oh, how much I need it every single day. I cannot live this life that God has allowed me to live, the trials and tribulations that God's given us, without the grace of God. I have to know that he's the one that gives me strength. He's the one that helps me. Did you know that you can refuse God's grace? And that means that I'm trying to do it all in my own power. And I cannot do it in my own power because I've tried and it does not work. And what I mean by it is trying to survive life's hard times. Doing it, God tells us that he will never give us anything that we can't handle. He will never give us more than we can handle because he gives us a way of escape. And our way of escape is God's grace. And it's knowing what this Bible says and believing that there are promises that we can claim. When Kirby had his heart attack, I was trying to be okay by sheer Kelly power. I was trying to talk myself into being okay. On the outside, I was okay. You guys would never have known that I was struggling, so on the inside. But I was struggling on the inside. And I was letting our situation control me. That's all I could think about was the hardness and the terror, because I thought, am I going to end up a widow? And, you know, having to raise my son by myself. And it was overwhelming to me. And it took me a few days to get my footing. But then I realized I need God's help more than anything. I cannot do it by myself. And I was praying and I was saying, God, I need you. And I was doing all those things, but I felt like I was doing it in my own power. And we can't do that. We need to continue in the grace of God. And then we need to continue in love. Hebrews 13:1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." And if you'll turn to 1 John 4, I'm going to read quite a few verses because this to me is really important. What the Bible says is way more important than what I say. 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 21. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. This is huge. You know, the Bible says that we need to love God, and then we need to love our brother. That's a commandment. As we travel the country, we see a lot of people fighting. I talked about that a little bit this morning. But yesterday, I counseled a lady. I don't want to say anything that would reveal. But the lady was having some struggles, and her daughter had just had a baby out of wedlock, and the grandparents of the girl that was having the baby, the mother that had the baby, and then the grandmother, and then the great-grandparents were all there. Make sense? Okay, I want to make sure I get it straight. So the grandparents get upset when they get to the hospital because there's somebody else in the room before them, which happened to be the father of the baby and the other grandmother. So these grandparents, the great-grandparents, were upset because they weren't the first in the room. And they were upset because they don't like the father of the baby. And they were upset because of all these different circumstances. So they were so angry that when they got home, they called welfare, CPS, the Child Protective Services, is that what you call it here? Okay. Well, they were so upset that they called the CPS and they said that she's an unfit mother. The great grandparents did this. And I'm like, for real? They were that upset. So is that love? No. I don't know all the extenuating circumstances. I'm just, you know, hearing the counseling part of it, the parts that I needed to hear. But they were mad and they were angry because they weren't first. You know, that is not love. You know, you don't turn your own family in for child neglect when you haven't even seen them with the child. You know, it's just, it was beyond my comprehension how they could do this. I'm working right now with two wives that are having marital problems. Horrible situations. One of them is, they're friends of ours, and I would never in a million years have thought they were going to have marital problems. They are the sweetest, cutest couple, and they've been married for some time, but the things that she's telling me that he's saying to her are horrendous. And the people in our homes are our closest neighbors, and they're the ones that we should be the kindest to, that we should love the most, the people in our own family, our family unit. But the husband is saying horrible things. Now, is the wife 100% perfect? No, she's not. You know, we've been working on that. But, you know, the husband shouldn't be talking to his wife like that. And then we had another couple in our church that my husband was counseling, his wife. And she was saying horrible, horrific things to her husband because things weren't going her way. You know, he lost his job because of some health problems. And she was just constantly nagging him and tearing him down. And it was horrible. But then the other couple that I was talking to, the wife has been calling me, and he's not even listening to her. You know, she says, can we at least do this? Can we at least go get counsel? And they're not doing this. They're not listening, and they're not talking, and they're not loving right. But it's how horrible it is that these are Christian people. I don't counsel unsaved people. I counsel Christians, and Christians are not treating each other in love, and I don't understand it. You know, we need to talk nice and love each other, but we need to quit thinking about us and what we want, and we need to love each other. And the Bible says to prefer one another. So we need to prefer somebody else's wants and wishes above our own, but how selfish we get. And then the Bible goes on to talk about fear. And this is a big deal to me because, again, I've spent a lot of time in fear. But continuing in love, the Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So if I'm living in fear, that means that I don't understand how much God loves me, and I'm not loving God like I need to love him. So it's a two-way street. I need to know how much God loves me and he cares for me, and that he perfectly, God plans every trial he allows to come in our life. It's perfectly fitted just for us. You know, I look at Mrs. Raven's daughter-in-law, Laura. She's a sweet, sweet girl. I don't want to have to just lose my brother. That would be really, really hard. But when I look at that, that's not my trial, and that's not what God has asked me to do. So I don't have the grace to handle what she's been given. You know, but I do know what it's like to have the grace to handle a sick husband and losing a ministry and finances and all those different things. I do know what that's like. But the more we know and believe God loves us, the less we're going to fear. And the Bible says fear hath torment, and I can be the first person to attest to that. That is very true. It's horrible to live in fear and to worry about what's going to happen. And even the things that are happening, my mind tends to go to the worst possible scenario, and I shouldn't do that because God's only asked me to live in here and now. That's all God's asked me to do. And the next thing he wants us to continue in is to continue in prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's Colossians 4:2. Again, I counsel ladies every week that I'm home or on the phone, wherever I'm at, but I have never counseled a lady yet that has a prayer book. Now, it's not the prayer book that makes it all right. There's nothing in the Bible that says you need to have a prayer book. This is my prayer book, but it's not all my prayer book. I write some things in here, too. It's more like a journal. I take notes and stuff, too. But my prayer life, if you pick up, I left my prayer book one time in a church, and I was mortified that somebody was going to open it because my sins are in here, all of them. So please don't try to steal my book because I only tell you what I want you to know. I have in my prayer book, I have my praises to God. That's my first page. And then I keep reminding myself what real prayer is and that God is most concerned about my attitude and my spiritual condition and my relationship to him, because that's what prayer is. Prayer is a relationship. It's me talking to God. When I read God's word, it's God talking to me. But you know what? God needs to know that I praise him and that I love him. And the only way that I can do that is through prayer. And I can say it and tell you how much I love the Lord and how good he's been to me and how wonderful and how much we need him. But you know what? I need to tell him. I need to tell him how good I think he is and how wonderful he is and how strong and powerful, and there's nothing too hard for God. Those are things he wants to hear from me. And he wants to hear them from you too. But I have never counseled a lady that I have not had to help her get a prayer book together. Because, you know, we need to pray for our family. We need to confess our sins. We need to pray for our husbands and our children. And my parents are still living, and I pray for my parents. And every cousin I have on my mom's side is not saved. So I have to pray for them because nobody else is. Pray every day that the Lord will send somebody to talk to them personally, because I can't. I don't live there. I pray every day. I have our needs listed. We only have one car. I'm praying for another car. I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for all these different things that only God can do. I have to pray. It's not a want. It is a want to, but I need and want to pray every single day. I can't miss. I've got to pray, and we need to continue in prayer. The ladies that I ask if they pray at all, they say, yeah, I pray, that the Lord will help me with this situation, or I thank the Lord for this or that, and that's good. That's well and good, but that's basically a minute or two a day. You know what? I can't ask God for everything I need in a minute or two a day. I can't. I can't survive on that. So are you continuing in prayer? It's so, so important. This relationship, the prayer relationship, is the relationship above all relationships, like Mrs. Raven was saying earlier. It's so important. we need to have a place and a plan and a time to pray, just like she was talking about. She has her tea and her Bible, and she goes upstairs. That's wonderful. You know, mine's a little bit different. You don't have to do it just like we do. My, you know, as soon as I wake up, I get my prayer book out, and I pray on my bed. And that's the first thing I do every morning, too, because it's that important. I need the grace and the help to get through the day. But it's work. It takes work to make yourself do that because it's not natural. You know, we think we can do things all on our own, but we can't. We can't do it. So we need to want to do it. It doesn't happen unless we make it happen. And we need to picture Jesus is a guest in our home. Let's just say he's waiting for us in the living room. He's a guest in our home, and he's sitting in the living room, and he's waiting. But then we leave for work, or we leave for this, and we leave for that, and think, sorry, Jesus, I'll get to you later. I don't have time right now. But Jesus is still sitting there. He's still waiting. And then, you know, day after day after day after day, he's still sitting there waiting for us. And then I ask you, do you visit with him every day? Or is he sitting there by himself just waiting on you to talk to him? He wants that relationship. He wants that fellowship. But is he left alone? It's pretty sad, sitting all by himself. But we need to continue in prayer. It's that important. And then we also need to continue in the things that we have learned. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And that's Philippians 4:9. This point is a very, very big deal to me. We can know the Bible. We can have verses memorized. We can quote a verse by heart. But are we living it? Are we applying it? Are we doing it? This verse says that you have received and heard and seen in me, do. Circle, a big circle around that word do. This is so important because if we are going to be the most miserable people if we know God's truth and we're not doing it. Because the Holy Spirit will tell us that if we're saved. He will tell us we're not living the way the Bible wants us to. And I've learned that if I'm struggling with something in my life, that means that I am not doing something God wants me to do. And I need to work on it. And I'm trying to do things my own way, and that never works. That never, ever works. So I'm just going to use a couple examples. You know, the Bible says, be kind. Are you kind today? Have you been kind already today or in the past? Are you being kind? That's something God tells us to do. And then the Bible says, be ye holy, like as I am holy. So God wants us to be holy, okay? So am I watching things on TV that I shouldn't be watching? Am I reading things that I shouldn't be reading? Am I trying to live a Christ-like life so that others can see Jesus in me? That's a command. And then the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's a command. Are we doing that? You know what? I can live my own way, but my heart is going to tell me, the Holy Spirit is going to tell me that I'm not doing things right. Then the Bible tells us that we need to continue with the truth of the gospel. Galatians 2:5 says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. I love this verse because God tells us that he wants us to tell everyone about him. Is the gospel going to continue with you, or is it going to stop with you? We have a choice every single day that we can give the gospel or we can hoard it up to ourselves. Those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's the most important thing that we can do. And if you haven't done that, I hope you get it taken care of today. But God tells us that he wants us to tell other people about him. It says, go ye into all the world. He tells us he wants us to tell other people. So he has written a story for all of our lives. I have a story, you have a story, you have a story. We all have a story, and God wants us to use our story to tell other people about him. Paul, every time you hear him in the Bible, he said, let me tell you what happened to me on the Damascus Road. He used his story that God gave him. So we need to be soul winners. And I love to tell people about the Lord. God has been very, very good to me. And my favorite place to tell people about the Lord is a bus stop. If I have some extra time and we drive by a bus stop and there's somebody there, I'm stopping because they have nowhere to go. They have nothing to do but time. And they will listen because they're not going anywhere. That is my most favorite place to win a soul to the Lord. But you know what? Not everyone likes to stop a stranger. I don't happen to be shy. I'll talk to anybody. I'm like, Ms. Sharon, I love to talk. But I want to tell people about the Lord. But will the gospel continue with you? Ask yourself that. Are you telling other people about the Lord? And the last thing is we need to continue in God's goodness. Romans 11:22 says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. And if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off." The theme this week is sipping on his goodness. And God is good. He is very good. He's good to all. The Bible says he's good to all, even on those that don't think that he is. He is good to all. Again, there's no way I could tell you how good God has been to us. One day we're going to write a book and tell all the different things the Lord has done for us. But I want to thank him and praise him for his goodness and his mercy every single day. I have the most precious Sunday school teacher. I don't get to go very often to our home church because we're gone every Sunday. But do you know Joanne Gerber at Gospel Light? Oh, she's the most precious lady. She's probably 75, I'm not sure, but her and her husband used to work for the Roloff Homes, and she is so sweet. Well, when Jack started having his heart difficulties, I went to her because I knew she was a prayer warrior, and I said, "Will you please pray for Jack?" And I told her what was going on. And she said, "Oh, that's so exciting. God has chosen you for another trial. This is good, Kelly. This is so wonderful. God thinks you are so special because he has given you another trial." And I'm like, that's not quite how I'm thinking about this right now. But she is so precious. She said, "Kelly, God has counted you worthy to give you another trial, and you need to thank him and praise him, thank him and praise him." That's, she'll always say it, thank him and praise him, thank him and praise him. And I thought, that is so sweet. And then she says, "And sing to him." And you don't want to hear me sing. Trust me, you don't want to hear me sing. But what a precious saint of God that when you get a trial, you think, "Oh, this is exciting. I have a ways to go before them," but how sweet and precious is that? She said, "God has given us another day to live for him, another day to praise him, another day to continue in his goodness." You know what? It's an honor for me to get to live another day, and it's an honor for me to be able to speak to you today, because you know what? Miss Sharon, she is like the most perfect speaker. I love to hear her. I'm a novice compared to her, but I want to be able to tell people how good God is. Because he is. Just because we're facing difficult times doesn't mean that God has ceased to be good, because he's never mean or cruel. I never want to ever have anybody think that God is mean or cruel, because he's not. Think about what Jesus did for us. Will you continue or will you give up? The same lady that I told you that I was counseling earlier, the one whose her husband left her because he didn't want any drama, she had some more trials, and we just talked about them yesterday. And she said, "Kelly," she said, "I just wanted to give up on everything." She said, "I just wanted to just quit everything." But she said, she got up the next day, and she said, "I went to work because I knew that was what I needed to do." And then she said, "And I ate because I knew that's what I needed to do." And I thought, praise the Lord. Okay, you did the simple things, and she was at counseling. If she would have quit, she wouldn't have been at counseling. So you know what? She kept going. Even though life got hard, she kept going. So she kept continuing. Every day we have a choice to continue to live in faith or to give up. Every day we have a choice to live in our own power or to live by the grace of God. Every day we can choose to be angry or continue to live in love. Every day we have a choice to humble ourselves and pray and continue in prayer. Every day we continue to grow and learn and apply or do things our own way. Every day we can continue to give the gospel, and every day we have a choice to live in God's goodness. Will you continue? I pray you do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time that we can spend with you. I do pray, Father, with all of my heart that next year every single one of these ladies will be here continuing in the faith, continuing in prayer, continuing in your love and grace. In your goodness, Father, we need you more than we need anything. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.